This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here, White House, Tennessee. He's our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Alex Crook is going to join the program a little bit later on, talking all things World Cup. We'll give out our best bets and, of course, check in on the Diamond with our edition of the Daily Diamond a little bit later on in this fine show. But we love catching up with the great Lou Finocchiaro. Give him a follow on X at Gamblu. Check out the Bout Business podcast and the Sneak Teep pod, and joins us here courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Lou, are you going to get up super early? I know you are for UFC Baku. I don't mind these awkward start times when we go across the world here. What time will you be getting up out there in the great state of Arizona?
Well, first of all, guys, thanks for having me. I will wake up at my normal hour, 4:30, to take my dog for a walk at 4:45. And so it works perfectly. I'll swing through Starbucks, get a frozen cocktail, and roll right into the fights at 6. So when you get aged, you wake up a little bit early.
No, absolutely, brother. You're on top of it. You're top of mind. Anytime we get this kind of upper echelon portion of the main card, let's start right at the top. Pretty evenly lined, right, with Torres and Fiziev. I think this is a unique stylistic matchup. Handicap it in your eyes here, Lou, where you see this fight end up playing out.
Yeah, this is a fascinating fight, and I think it's lined correctly based on the fact that Torres is young, he's taller, he's longer. He's got a little bit more mixed arsenal of weaponry because he has some submissions. Fiziev doesn't use any wrestling at all. Torres has never been out of the first round, however. It must be the plan for the Uzbeki fighter or Azerbaijani fighter, Fiziev, to take this fight into round two. It must be the plan. And I get caught up here between how green Torres is and the fact that he's not seen a round two, and yet the attrition that Fiziev has taken, especially in his last fight when he was finished, we've not seen that. And so there's enough unknowns here for me to think that I'm going to find a way to bet this either over 1.5 or use a parlay piece that the fight starts round two. I'm going to sidestep aside here because there's just maybe a little too much unknown in this fight for me to invest in a side.
I really do like that overplay, and I'll give out some of those plays later on in the program too, Lou. I do like the over 1.5 here. I worry about the adrenaline dump a little bit from the Torres side because, as you mentioned, he's so used to first-round finishes, and if he doesn't get one, and I wonder if Fiziev will wrestle, Lou. Like, do you think – I know you mentioned he never does – You think he'll just stand and bang with the younger Torres?
He can't. He doesn't. He hasn't learned it. And really, if you want a way to try and manipulate this fight, if you do like the Fiziev side, give the 5.5 and take +120. Because I don't see this fight going to the cards. So you want to squeeze a -118 and get +120. Take Fiziev. If you want to use Torres via the points, then you have to take him. Unfortunately, you can't give him, and the same advantage is not available.
Lou, as you look through the rest of the top of this main card, anything that you like from an angle perspective, whether it be a live underdog or a little method of victory for some of these other line fights?
Let's take a look here. On the main card, I'm going to use Sadikov in a parlay, and I'm going to use him down the line with Almakan on the points handicap and turn a couple of favorites into a plus number. I lean to Aliskarov a little bit against Ferreira, and earlier in the week, digital, Michael Olachezik was +135 Tuesday when I released him. That fight's now a pick. And I think Abus Magomedov's up to his eyebrows in power-punching Michael O here. Michael O, if he keeps this standing, this is his fight. Abus, arguably, is the more well-rounded fighter.
Yeah, and again, it's just weird to look about Magomedov when he came in. They gave him Sean Strickland first time in the octagon when he got to the UFC. That did not work out well that night for Magomedov. I'm one of the fascinated. I do have a play on the co-main event here in Michelle Pereira against Shara Bullitt and Shara Magomedov, and we can understand why Shara is such a massive favorite here. But, you know, I look at the Michelle side and I go, is he now a 7.5-minute fighter at best? Is the cardio too big of an issue for you to take a live dog in this co-main?
Yeah, I really would like to. If I were to consider Pereira, it would be some form of finisher inside the distance. I see this as a scientist against a free flower. And Magomedov is patient, diligent, structured, follows the plan. Pereira has no plan. He's the wild man of the pampas. And so you're going to have tremendous striking styles mix. And Pereira could surely spinning heel hook him, spinning knee, a flying elbow. He could do it. But I have to lean to the more structured, patient, meticulous type fighter in that fight. And for that reason, I don't think I can try Pereira.
Anywhere else on the main card that you feel is kind of mispriced here, Lou? This is always one of the things I love asking you about, because we've had some of these mains where pretty even as far as odds go, but then you get some of the big $4 favorites upwards of $2.50, $3 there. Any one of those that you feel might be a little bit mispriced?
Yeah, I think Michael Oleksijczyk should be minus 130 or minus 140 in this fight. He has fought at light heavyweight and now drops down to 85. Yeah, Abus is going to be in front of his home country, but not every single one of these Muslim-based fighters is going to win their fights. And so I think Michael O has the power in his hands. He's from Poland. He doesn't have to travel too far. Yeah, I think you're getting him anything pick or better, I think, is a bargain.
You know, I was kidding about the time zone change, obviously fighting over there in Baku on Saturday for us stateside. We do have an American fighter here on the main card. That's Charles Johnson. And normally when you see Johnson at this big an underdog price, you want to look to the dog side here. But I look at Asu Amabayev and I go, man, as much as Charles has been in there with amazing competition, got Joshua Van out of there back in the day, you know, so that stuff, you go, boy, this is a live dog scenario. I don't see it. I see Almabayev wrestling him. Now, if it stays standing, I think Charles is very live. But what do you make about the American fighting against Almabayev here? Is he live in your eyes, or do you see it as the favorite side?
Charles Johnson can be so inconsistent. You know, on one fight, he knocks out Joshua Van, and then on the next fight, Alex Perez gets him. So hard to get a barometer on him, but I like Almabayev a lot. I like him in front of his home people. I like the home cooking. And the only thing I don't really like, Dave, is that price. However, in order for me to sidestep the price, I'm not afraid whatsoever to recommend Almabayev -3.5 points, -110. This is a 2.5-round fight line, 260 to the over. So I like Almabayev here, and I'll give those points in a fight that I think stays pretty much on the canvas with Almabayev on top.
All right, I know I usually ask you, and if you don't have one, it's okay. But if we were to surmise maybe a little bit of a pizza money parlay, whether it be method of victory, maybe it be looking at a fight prop here, Lou, I'll give you the floor. Main card or prelims here. Is there a couple of fights you could identify? Maybe if you want to get a little creative, we can do that later on tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I think that there's a mispriced fight in the undercard between Yakyaev and Walker. Yakyaev has really not put his prerequisites in. There's a lot of unknown with him. And Julius Walker, while he's not a great grappler and he has to travel across the world to take this fight, is well more comp. This fight should be Walker plus 200. And I'm looking at a 440 number. That's really obtuse. Further, I think Walker's durability is stronger than 1.5. So not only do I like the over 1.5 at plus 150, I like Walker here at plus 440. And if we think it's going to go to decision, Walker plus the 3.5 is plus 275. Those are all really value plays, in my opinion. And the points handicap, I know people don't really target those very much, but they're totally underutilized and they offer great value. If this fight's close and Walker gets home cooking and he loses a split decision, we walk at plus 275.
Had Dan Vreeland on First Strike this week. So when you align with Dan, great minds like yourselves think alike, Walker feels like a live dog here in that fight. Let me give you a massive favorite, and Daniil Danchenko, who really is, people are starting to take note of what this young man can do. He's a massive favorite here, over $5 betting favorite. And then a small favorite, and a guy like Gene Matsumoto, who's going to be minus $1.60 early on. And Matsumoto was one of those guys that we thought could be a champion when he came into the organization. Hasn't exactly worked out. Is there any danger on those favorite sides? One, obviously, much smaller than the big favorite here in Danchenko.
Yeah, I like Almakan a good deal in this fight against Matsumoto, the regional fighter fighting at home, and I think he's easily, this is a pick fight. Why Matsumoto's getting the nod, I don't know, but I'll use Almakan. As far as Danchenko and Bergen, I don't know Bergen enough to be able to make any kind of opinion there, Dave, so I have to sidestep that. This will be a due diligence fight for me as well as the Abdullayev fight. I don't really know enough about those guys to comment.
20 seconds. So tell the people what they get when they check out the Bout Business and the Sneak Deep pods.
Yeah, Sneak Deep is a look at opening numbers and where they've moved a week ahead of the fights, and the Bout Business's final releases. That'll be out later today. I sure appreciate you guys having me on, and I've been clean shaven for a long time because I know that's how Mom wants us to look.
Mama Ross says, Dave, shave the beard. I shave the beard. Lou, you are the best. We're back. It's VSiN by the books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Football fans, rejoice. The all-new VSiN NFL betting guide is out right now. So whether you're betting futures, win totals, divisional races, MVP, rookie of the year, or the Super Bowl itself, our guide is going to get you ready before training camp even begins. Breakdowns of all 32 teams, projected win totals, best bets from all of our experts, power ratings, and so much more. Get it today. Our football special is just $175. So when you sign up, you're going to get access to everything we do through the Super Bowl, which is next February. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Head over to VSiN.com/subscriber right now. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Great conversation with Lou Finicaro in the last segment. Alex Crook's going to join us here to talk some World Cup before we are done. We'll get to our best bets as well. But, Jensen, we look forward to it every single day. It's time to talk all things baseball in today's edition of the Daily Diamond. Trying to forget about what just happened with the Cubs and the Mets. New series begin today across the landscape of Major League Baseball. Jensen, what do you have your eye on?
Let's go straight to the top of the first game here. Reds and Pirates at PNC Park, and Pittsburgh, a very impressive series win over Seattle yesterday. Mm-hmm. They will run their ace, Paul Skeens, to the mound today. So that's got to be a win, right? No, sir. The Pirates have lost seven consecutive Paul Skeens starts, and this is a nice little spot to go ahead and back the Reds. We're going to do an alternate run line plus one at plus $1.25, Dave. Reds are 17-12 covering the run line as road underdogs, which they are decidedly tonight, plus $1.87 if you want to get super aggressive there. and back the Red Legs. They need to score. It has been tough. The last seven games, they have averaged right around 3 runs per. So we'll also play the under alternate total of 8. Found that at Novig at minus $1.13. A lot of 7.5s out there, and you can understand why. It's going to be Andrew Abbott on the mound here for the Cincinnati Reds. Congratulations to him. Just got engaged to his news anchor girlfriend there in the Cincinnati area. So we're going to use a little bit of the engagement bump. And also, the Pirates stink when Paul Skenes is on the mound here the last 7 times out. Cincinnati plus 1 at a plus 125 price here to start things off.
All right. So, yeah, I think that was coinciding, obviously, with Ellie De La Cruz, but activated after spending 3 weeks on an injured list. Hopefully the offense will get better, but it has not been very good here for those Red Legs. Same thing for the Guardians. You've been all over this year, kind of looking at them without their best hitter in the lineup too, Jensen. Does that get you to more underplays today?
Happy Cooper Engle Day. He is going to get called up there. The multi-purpose prospect for the Cleveland Guardians. They need a shot of life. They need a little bit of everything. Dave, if you can swing a bat, head on down to Progressive Field, because in their last 13 games, 11 of them have seen the Cleveland Guardians score 4 runs or fewer. And Seattle has not been good whatsoever. How about 3 runs or fewer, Dave, in 11 straight games for the Mariners? Let's not fight the fight here. Let's just go ahead and ride the highs. That means we're playing the under 7.5 here. Best price I found, minus $1.11 on Novig, seeing some others there at Circa at minus $1.15. Again, the pitching matchup tonight, it's going to be a good one, and you would expect run suppression when you get Luis Castillo and Joey Cantillo on the mound. So 7:10 first pitch there, under 7.5, Seattle and Cleveland, minus $1.11 tonight.
When I made the All-Star team in junior high, my average was 222, and I made the All-Star team. Why they felt the need to put the averages on the team picture, I still don't know to this day. You're going to stay with a theme, I think, Jensen, and maybe you'll like me offensively challenged here for the Cubs and Brew Crew. We know how passionate these fan bases are. Could defense and pitching be in vogue here?
Two teams that don't like each other, and for good measure. Cubs with the extra inning victory last night to complete the 4-game sweep against the New York Mets. I think that's probably where the winning streak ends as they go up against Jacob Mizorowski tonight. All the Miz has done, Dave, in his last 9 starts, 0.45 ERA, 0.45. And that will allow us to get to an under 8. We're going to go and buy half run here in this Cubs and Brewers matchup. It is a little expensive, but I have so much PTSD from what we've just watched with the Philadelphia Phillies and the Washington Nationals, dead unders here end up going overs. So let's go play an alternate under 8, minus $1.52 for the Cubs and the Brewers. Chicago will send Colin Ray to the mound tonight. He has not been good for them, and the Cubs have lost 4 consecutive starts that he has been on the mound there. So a little correlated play here, Dave. We're going to play an under 8, minus $1.52 with the Cubs and the Brewers. We're going to install the Brewers run line, minus 1.5, and also put that in a quarter unit parlay with the Athletics, minus 1.5 at the LA Angels. We also will play the Angels minus $1.15. The Athletics minus $1.15 at the Angels at Angel Stadium later on tonight. LA is 14-17 straight up as a home dog, which they are tonight. JT Ginn gets the ball here for the Athletics. What a comeback they had yesterday in the Bay Area Series finale against the Giants. They score a boatload at the end. That got us to an over as well in that matchup. I think the bats stay hot under the halo here later on tonight. So a little correlated play for a couple of these games. Under in the Cubs Brewers, under 8, Athletics on the money line. But let's play a little quarter unit fun run line parlay. Brewers minus 1.5 against the Cubs, Athletics minus 1.5 at the Angels.
Love it. And we got some nice tweets yesterday, Jensen, somebody reaching out to you saying they've learned more about pitching, not just gambling, but pitching as well, listening to this segment and this show every day. And I do want to ask you in context of that against the Miz. When you've got a guy going like he's going, and I know, just going back to my feeble baseball playing days, you'd say, if you can't hit this guy, wait, hopefully he can draw pitches, work the count up. And then the other school of thought is, man, if he's around the zone, I got to ambush. I got to go up there and swing early in the count because he's not going to walk me. He's not going to be wild in that zone. What is the approach that you take when you're going up against guys on absolute heaters like the Miz is right now?
Pray, because if you look at the peripheral numbers, I mean, it really is utter dominance right now. Here's the tale of the tape for the Miz, the last nine starts. Brewers are 7-2 in those contests. He has gone 60 1/3. He's allowed 24 hits. Let me say it again. In 60 1/3, the last nine starts, 24 hits, only 10 walks. He has not surrendered a home run. He has struck out 87 in 60 1/3. It is absolute ridiculousness just kind of looking at where he's at with some of these numbers. And also, Dave, if you want to look at it, there has not been a single start this year. Again, a little correlated play here with our under. There has not been a start this season in 15 of them where Jacob Mizorowski has allowed more than 3 runs. That's it. 15 wow. Starts, 3 runs or fewer allowed. And so if you want to play any of those player props, I can't fight you on that. It has been utter dominance here the last 9. But overall, you understand why he's the front runner for the National League Cy Young.
All right, you're on that run line. You're on that under. I can totally understand why here with the Brewers today against the Cubs. Maybe get some offense here between the Rockies and the Twins.
Yes.
Who have actually been swinging the bats a little bit better.
Two pitching stabs that are not going to provide much resistance tonight. And Dave, the track record actually emboldens our play here. Let's start with the Rockies. As you mentioned, they're in the Twin Cities against Minnesota. We're going to play the over 9 at minus $1.20. Colorado has had 10 or more total runs scored in back-to-back games that Tomoyuki Sugano has started. He gets the ball tonight against Taj Bradley for Minnesota. Well, all that's happened in 3 consecutive starts by Taj Bradley, those games have had at least 9 total runs scored or more. So I think we're getting offense both sides here. I don't hate it if you guys want to get in on a first 5 because both these starters have not been good. Back ends of these bullpens, though, Dave, have had a lot of trouble closing some games out. So if you want to be safe and you want to get all at least 8.5 or 9 full innings of opportunities for these offenses, over 9, minus $1.20, the way to go tonight.
Good call yesterday on the Red Sox coming back to beat the Yankees, even with Cam Schlitter on the mound here. Will Warren's in the bump here for the Pinstripers today in Beantown against the Sox. Can Boston make it 2 in a row in one of the best rivalries in all of sports?
Yes, in the history of the rivalry, it has been very good. Will that continue tonight? I would see a little bit of value again on the over tonight. We got crushed with the under last night by 1 run, but I would see more offense again tonight. I do like that over 8.5 if you're getting there. And if you do think the Yankees bounce back, I would even sprinkle a little bit on their run line. Nice plus 140 price there at Circa for sure.
All right, we've added some plays here to the Travelers. We'll get to some golf picks that we have. Also, I've got some UFC Baku picks I want to give out. And you've got an updated portfolio in the World Cup as well. And then we're going to have Alex Crook on the program, too, to wrap things up today to talk all things World Cup. So plenty to get to. Come on back. It's VSiN by the books.
And by the books, right here on VSiN.
The contests are open for business. Yes, Circus Football Contest, all 3 of them available right now. You don't have to live in Vegas in order to play. After your required in-person registration, Winner Circle Proxy is going to handle your weekly submissions so you can make your picks from anywhere in this great country of ours. Winner Circle Proxy is VSiN's preferred proxy service. One trip to Vegas, that's all it takes. Play all season long from anywhere. Schedule your appointment now at winnerscircleproxy.com. Going to have Alex Crook join the program here in the very next segment, get his thoughts on the World Cup. But Jensen, before we get to Alex's selection today, you have updated your portfolio, and I think you're really well-rounded right now as we advance now into the round of 32. In the World Cup, what have you added for the people? And I think now, have you gotten to the point where you feel like you're leveraged properly? You might not need to add anymore.
Yeah, I think as I enter your round two props that I wanted to be able to tell. By the way, two out of three yesterday. Well done. We'll get to those in a second. Okay, so here's what we did for those watching on FanDuel Sports Network, Rogers Sportsnet, North of the Border, YouTube TV, listening on Sirius Channel 158. Before the tournament, I put a full unit play on Portugal plus 850. I put a half unit play on Norway at 30-1 and a quarter unit play on both Morocco at 60-1 and Uruguay at a little over 82-1. In the last couple of weeks, I added Germany for a full unit at 14-1 and then the United States for a quarter unit at 35-1. Yesterday, knowing where we were in the group stage and sort of where the knockout positions had been solidified for some of these future bets that I've made, I added three more to kind of complete our portfolio. Three-quarter unit play on Brazil at 12-1, Netherlands at 14-1, and then a half unit play on Mexico at 50-1. Now, the good news here, Dave, is we have every one of these teams qualified for the knockout round except for Uruguay, who are up against Spain later on tonight at 8 o'clock. Now, the implications of that match are significant. Spain is trying to be able to be the group winner. And should that hold, that is an advantageous position for them into the knockout round and their path, at least into the round of 16, if not the quarterfinal. Spain has 4 points right now, Dave. They have a plus four goal differential over both Uruguay and Cape Verde, who are both with 2 points. But by virtue of their two draws, they obviously are at zero for that goal differential. Here's the tale of the tape. Basically, we need Uruguay to have at least a draw, if not a victory, to qualify. Cape Verde is pretty much in with where they are. And again, all they'll need is a draw and potentially a win over Saudi Arabia, and they're in great standing. But as it pertains to where we are futures-wise, you mentioned it, we are maximized as far as the top and the bottom of the bracket. And our idea, again, just like those of you in the stock market, we may not need these to hit an all-time high, meaning we may not need them all to at least have a chance to win. Our identification for the paths here is to try and get a handful of these on both sides of the bracket into the round of 16, if not into the quarterfinal. At that point, then we really have some monetization opportunities. And Dave, I think we'll start approaching those probably around the 10th of July. When we do that, we're sort of into that round of 16, and we'll kind of know at the top of the bracket, July 9th is actually that first round of 16 match. So we'll know where some of those futures are. One that we are going to lose right away is the Netherlands or Morocco. They match up. That is a confirmed knockout round match in that first portion. So a 14-1 will move on, or a 60-1. But I like where we sit there because they are locked with the winner of South Africa and Canada. And either the Netherlands or Morocco, I would believe, would be a favorite in that round of 32 matchup to move on to the round of 16. That sets us up pretty well to start thinking about that monetization opportunity.
Well positioned indeed, my friend. Well done. I got some UFC Baku plays I want to get out for the people before we give some updated golf plays here as the Travelers has begun. So, look, this fight card, and it was a great conversation with Lufa Nogueira. Please shout out First Strike. Check out me and Rob Moreno every week. We have Dan Vreeland on Gumby, as we affectionately call him. And Gumby and Lou align in a lot of fights, as do I in some places here. I really do like Manuel Torres in this main event. It does. It is worrisome for me because I am on the over 7.5 minutes. Torres normally gets the job done very early. That is not Rafael Fiziev. I don't think he's going to be able to go in there and get out a guy that's going to be a fan favorite close to his countrymen and women there in Baku and get him out of there in 5 minutes. I don't see that scenario playing out. And the danger that I see on the Torres side is if he can't get him out of here relatively early, does Fiziev get better as the fight goes on? The problem for Rafael is that's not been the case as of late. If you go back to the Justin Gaethje fights, if you go against the Mauricio Hufi fight, and he won that first round against Hufi, and they got knocked out in the second. So I think this fight at least goes past 7.5 minutes. Then I'll be looking live betting wise But I do like the Torres side at the price point at minus $1.05. It just might get worrisome for me if it's an absolute firefight in the first 5 minutes and he can't get him out. And I don't think he'll get Fazeev out of there early. So I do like that over at $1.30. I mentioned this with Lou in the co-main event here. Charles Bullitt against Michel Pereira. Pereira's gas tank is just not good. So Charles Bullitt, could he hurt Charles with something early? Yeah, because he's a madman. But that means 5 minutes. I really do look at Michel these days and go, man, two rounds tops. And past that, with the volume and the sniping from a guy like Charles Bullitt on the outside, with those leg kicks that he likes to employ, with the reach advantage here, I think Pereira, the gas tank, is going to go really easily. I think this is an underplay. Look, if Michel gets him out of there, it's going to be inside of 2.5 rounds. So that's why I'm playing the small price point here. Play the under 2.5 in the co-main event. We mentioned we've been eyeing this weather going on right now in Hartford at the Travelers for the second round. It has begun. And we mentioned that it was delayed 30 minutes because of rain. And normally what that does, Jensen, as we know, it's going to soften up those greens even more. Well, I've added some plays here. Under 67.5 is the round prop that you're seeing generally out there. On Sam Burns, you got to lay a small price point here on Burns to go under. Easily got under yesterday, and he missed a ton of stuff in the greens, and he's normally one of the best putters in the world. Justin Rose, the old man that can, he just will. I think it's a perfect golf course for Rosie. I think he's going to be around for the weekend here in a big way. I think he'll easily get under that. And Ludvig, I played him top 10, gave that out earlier, adjusted price here at 5-1 to be top 10. Even par round, indifferent yesterday. He's only 3 back, which would get you under that 67.5 on a second round prop today. That's the way that I'm looking at those. And again, some second round head-to-head matchups. I got Sungjae Im, who I think quietly is starting to play really good golf again against Big Sepp Straka, the Austrian. I'm not saying he's checked out. He's just not playing great golf these days. And I'm going to fade the Canadian and Corey Connors, who made everything yesterday in the green. Putting is normally not his strength, Jensen. I like Sahith Theegala, who had a terrible day yesterday as our American. I think Sahith is going to be back in the fight in a big way. I think he'd be a guy I'd want to target, too, for a guy that was over par yesterday. I don't think he'll be over par after today's round. I like him in a head-to-head against CC Corey Connors.
Love it. I tailed you on the under round two scoring props. We were profitable yesterday, hitting the 2 out of 3. Boy, if Wyndham Clark did not have that triple, that would have been a sweep the way that he was going. He almost got there. Well, we were 6 inches short yesterday on 18 for Wyndham, almost getting it still across for us. Again, if you're just joining us, some recaps for me. As far as some baseball plays today, two in that Reds and Pirates matchup. Dave, we're going to play an alternate run line plus one at a plus 125 price for Cincinnati. The Pirates have lost 7 consecutive starts by Paul Skenes. This is wild to say out loud. And the Reds have actually been quite profitable covering the run line as a road underdog, which they are today, 17-12 in that category. When that scenario presents itself, which it does today, I do love the under 7.5 in Mariners and Guardians tonight. You have Seattle, who has scored 3 runs or fewer in 11 straight games. They got shut down these last 3 games against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Cleveland without Jose Ramirez and without Chase DeLauder, they have not been able to generate a lot of offense. Cleveland, 4 runs scored or fewer in 11 of their last 13 games. So under 7.5 minus $1.11. I am seeing you react. What do we have?
Oh, my goodness. We have massive breaking news. The New York Metropolitans announced the departure of manager Carlos Mendoza. Andy Green will take over as interim skipper for the remainder of this season. No word on David Stearns and the GM. Jensen, massive news. The Mets have fired Carlos Mendoza after getting swept away by the Cubs over the last 3 days here. Massive news there. I don't know that it's too late. Like we saw Donnie Baseball rescue the Phillies. Boy, Mendoza is out as the skipper of the Mets. Did not see that coming before this show ended today. When we're coming back, we're going to talk with Alex Crook, all things World Cup soccer, and what does he make of Team USA's loss last night? Anything to make of it? We'll discuss next right here on VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you. Breaking news that we just had at the very end of the last segment. Carlos Mendoza has been fired as the Mets manager. I know coming up next in our numbers game, Gil Alexander and Dustin Swedelson is also a long-suffering Met fan. We'll have a lot to say about that coming up after us today. Alex Crook knows all about managers getting sacked in his neck of the world as well. Kind enough to join us here on the Progressive Guest Line to talk all things World Cup. Does a great job at TalkSport Chief Football Correspondent. Give him a follow on X at Alex_Crook. So not a surprise to you, Alex, to see managers getting sacked. This one in baseball, not in your realm of the world here in the world of soccer.
No, I got to say, it gave me a little reminder of what I usually do when I'm not covering a World Cup. But yeah, managerial sackings in the Premier League, that they happen every other day. But seeing you guys to react to that was quite a sight.
It's so fun. And just the vocab. This is why we love when our world partners come together. Let's talk a little bit about that. And just kind of quickly, I know the United States, really no implications for them last night against Turkey. I know that you had some guys rotated out with the yellow card implications, too. But we were talking before we came on, Alex. You feel that the draw could not have really broken much better, at least for the early knockout stage opponents for the United States. Do we sit here today feeling pretty optimistic, at least about the chances against Bosnia, if not beyond that into the round of 32?
Yeah, listen, it's never nice to lose a game, but you mentioned that Mauricio Pochettino rotated some players, so it wasn't a complete surprise to me. The US dropped points. There wasn't any jeopardy in the game in terms of going through to the knockout rounds. I think you'll beat Bosnia. Quite a stubborn defensive side, but not got much in attack. And you look at the way that particular part of the draw has opened up, I think you'll be disappointed now not to at least reach the quarterfinals. I was with Eddie Lewis at a watch party for your first game against Paraguay. He was a member of the team that got to the quarterfinals in 2002, and he was optimistic then that you could at least emulate what those guys achieved, if not better it. So yeah, I think a place in the last eight would be job done as far as Mauricio Pochettino is concerned. And coming into this tournament, a lot of US fans seemed unconvinced by him. I've always been a massive Mauricio Pochettino fan. I'm a Manchester United supporter. I've wanted him to get that job for years now. And I think he's proving himself to be the top coach that I've always believed he is.
That's fascinating, because that's exactly what I wanted to ask, how you thought he managed last night's game, even in defeat, and yet can use that for fuel to the fire going forward. We mentioned Bosnia is going to be the next on the pitch here on Wednesday. But realistically, Alex, now that you see the way the draw is going up, you like what he's done so far as the manager of this club, what do you see could be a realistic outcome for Team USA going forward?
As I say, certainly a quarterfinal place, and who knows, with home advantage, with the nation behind you. And I've got to say, the US fans are getting a bit swept up now in World Cup fever. Maybe you could even find yourself in a semi-final. This draw is very complicated. I don't know if it's going to happen that the US could meet England at some point. But I was on air a few days ago with a journalist for the New York Post, and he was bigging up your chances of beating England. I said if the England team were to lose the US back home in England, that would be a national disaster. So, yeah, I think quarterfinals for you guys.
Well, Alex, I can tell you, if we match up against England and it's in Massachusetts, England's got no shot with what the history is of this great country. So that's for sure. I think a lot of us, just as fans, will be so locked in to France and Norway, of course, two of the headliners with Kylian Mbappe and with Erling Haaland. As far as where we are for the knockout stage, both these teams have already qualified. Now it's just about who wins the group. In your eyes, would France want to win the group knowing they potentially have a round of 32 with Germany on the horizon? And where would the strategy be if you're the manager on both sides? What are you looking for in that one, knowing both teams are through, but obviously a group winner versus a second place finisher drastically affects where both these teams will be in the knockout stage?
It's so difficult, as I've already mentioned, because you've got the permutations with the best third place teams. You don't really know who you're going to pitch up against. What I can confidently predict, I think, for this game is there's going to be goals. You've got two of the best strikers in the world in Kylian Mbappe and Erling Haaland. You've got the likes of Michael Olise and Martin Ødegaard, the supply line. So I'd be all over 3.5 goals in this game. I think it's going to be an absolute chance fest. France, for me, I tipped them before the tournament. I've seen nothing to change my mind. I think they're the best team at this World Cup. I'm actually predicting a repeat of the last final from 4 years ago, France against Argentina. So I think France will ultimately come out on top. Germany don't scare them. I've watched Germany. I was in the stadium in Houston when they beat Curacao 7-1. They gave away so many chances in that game. They'd been punished by better opponents. They were lucky to beat the Ivory Coast. And obviously, they've lost to Ecuador. If France played Germany in the round of 32, there's only one winner for me.
You know, Alex, I know that Jensen's going to be keeping a watchful eye in Guadalajara today when Uruguay takes on Spain there. You mentioned that you still like France here to get back there. What about Spain? I know it was kind of an indifferent start to this World Cup. Where are you on the Spaniards going forward?
I didn't fancy them before a ball was kicked, and obviously it was an underwhelming start against Cape Verde, bounced back to form in their last game. My issue with Spain, and we've had this with England teams in the past, if you're carrying players who are not fully fit as they are with Lamine Yamal, Nico Williams, Rodri's had a terrible couple of years with injury, I think it takes its toll. And when Spain came up against top opponents, I'm just not sure they've got it in their locker to progress. So at the moment, I'm not seeing Spain as one of the favourites. Actually, I think this is quite a tricky game for them. Marcelo Bielsa's Uruguay, tricky opponents. And actually speaking to a lot of fans from the US and actually some Brazilians the other night and Argentinians, they don't fancy facing Uruguay in the knockout stages because they think they're a really difficult team to beat. And yeah, I think this could be quite low scoring this game.
Yeah, Alex, I had the same idea. We visited with Brian Dunseth, of course, one of the veterans there from the United States of years ago, and he identified Uruguay as that's a team that you would be scared to hell to have to try and knock out. So I did take a little position on them north of 82-1, knowing full well I don't think they win it. But man, if you can get a match or two under your belt in deep, there's a way to monetize with that price point, knowing who their opponents could be. I know that Team USA will also, and our fan base will have a very watchful eye on the Group G standings here, because it will have implications in that part of the bracket. Let me first start with Egypt and Iran. Egypt obviously can clinch as a group winner with a win. A draw most likely in your eyes would advance them, would you say? And then kind of where are we with Belgium, who might be one of the more disappointing teams thus far here in group play, with knowing that they need a win to guarantee an advancement?
Yeah, Belgium massively disappointing. And again, it's almost history repeating from 4 years ago. This golden generation now has come to the end of the road for me. It probably should still have enough to beat New Zealand, but I don't see them going much past the first knockout round. And what a great moment for Egypt in their last game to get their first ever World Cup victory. This has been the World Cup of stars, hasn't it? They've come to the party, Messi, Ronaldo, Mbappe, Haaland, Kane, and Mo Salah as well. So I think from a viewing perspective, that's exactly what we wanted. You want the best players to bring their A game to a World Cup, and certainly Mo Salah has done that so far.
You know, Alex, speaking of that, with the best players here, when you look at the Golden Boot, who's going to have the most goals scored, where would you place that price point at? Would you look at Mbappe for France if you like them, at least to get to the finals? Yeah. Does that make the most sense to you?
It does. I'm intrigued to see if Messi starts the final game for Argentina against Jordan. If he does, he could win it in the group stage, because he could absolutely fill his boots against them. One hat-trick already, one penalty miss away from a second treble. But yeah, I think Mbappe is the smart money. I did pick out before the last game that Brazil played, Matheus Cunha, a big price as a dark horse, because he's going to have a key role to play for Brazil. And actually, listen, I've not played anybody yet, but Brazil have surprised me. Brazil have been better in this tournament than maybe I thought they would be.
Okay, Alex, last one from me, and you went right where I was going to go. I added three futures yesterday just for monetization opportunities. Brazil at 12-1, Netherlands 14-1, and then Mexico at 50-1, just trying to see if we can get some convergence there. Are we buying kind of where the Netherlands are, where they're positioned? I know they'll have Morocco in that first knockout stage match. Do we like them to advance, or is this kind of one-sided, knowing that France is going to be on that side of the bracket?
I think they'll advance against Morocco, the Netherlands, and I can see why you've picked them out. Defensively, very strong. I had a few concerns about where the goals were coming from, but obviously they have been alleviated during the group stage. If it came to it, would the Netherlands beat France? No, in my opinion. Your Mexico shout is an interesting one, because obviously with my England hat on, that's likely to be the round of 16 game at the Azteca, Mexico against England. And I don't know if I got this right, but somebody told me last night, I was at the darts at Madison Square Garden, they've lost twice in 80 games at the Azteca, Mexico. So that is a fearful one for England.
Alex, great stuff, man. We appreciate the conversation. Look forward to what's going to happen today and certainly next week for USA coming Wednesday against Bosnia. Give him a follow on X at Alex_Crook. Okay, if you want more VSiN, you've been watching on FanDuel Sports Network, you've been watching on YouTube TV, all you have to do is go to VSiN Watch app at VSiN.com. A numbers game, Gil Alexander, Dustin Sweetelson, they've got the Bear, Chris Felica, and his World Cup picks. It's all up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.